Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be talking about the rapture today, and this is a very interesting subject, and it is an event spoken of in God's Word that I believe there's plenty of scripture to back up and support the idea that there is going to be a rapture, and you will not find the word rapture in the scripture, that particular word, but you will find the words the catching away or being caught up in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 16 and 17, that concept, that idea, that image of the saints of God being caught up together to be with the Lord. And so that is the idea of the rapture. It means the catching away or the being caught up, and it is a concept whereby the scripture supports it very much, and it is an event that can happen at any point in time. I don't believe there are any prophetic declarations or any prophetic markers that have to be met or any parameters that have to be met before the rapture can occur. I believe it can happen at any time, and even today it could happen. Even as you're listening to this message today, I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen next week, next month, or any time. And so the idea that we need to be prepared is the predominant theme of today's message. I'm not so concerned about being on the planning committee. I'm more concerned about being on the welcoming committee, that when Jesus comes back to gather up the saints, I am ready and I welcome him and I say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. I want to be with you. I want to go." And so the details of the planning I'll leave to somebody else. I'm explaining them and giving them to the best of my ability and the best of my opinions today and the best of my scriptural study today. But I leave the details up to Jesus and to the Lord God Almighty, but the main thing and the main idea that I want to leave with you today is that you be ready, and no matter when it comes, whether the rapture comes today or next week or next year or 20 years from now, that you be ready and you be on the welcoming committee and you say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. I am ready for you to come," and you come whenever you want to gather up your saints. Well, in John 14, chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's telling them about days in the future, that the events in the future, that he is going to be preparing a place for them to come, and that he is going away to prepare that place. And so we're going to take it up in verse 1 here in John 14. He says to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas was the doubter, we know him as Doubting Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." So Jesus was preparing the apostles for this time when he would be leaving. And he was speaking in cloaked terms or in veiled terms about the crucifixion. And he was saying, "I'm going to be going away, but I have a purpose for going, and I have a purpose for returning. And the reason that I'm going away is I'm going to prepare a place for you." And so, beloved, if you are a believer today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be assured that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what kind of calamity we see or what kind of blessings we see or rain or shine or whatever comes our way, that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you. And the moment you close your eyes here on this earth, that very second, that split second, the twinkling of an eye, that very split second that you close your eyes here on this earth, you are going to be transported by the angels to be with Jesus, and you will take up residency, your soul and spirit, that is, will take up residency with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and he has prepared a place for you. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is my belief, beloved, that Jesus is building a mansion, not just a little shack or a little lean-to. He's building a mansion for every believer, but the size of the mansion and the actual dimensions and the blessings of each individual person's mansion, that is determined by your works here on this earth. That is determined. This is a bit of extra biblical accounts that some people have seen the mansions in heaven when they've been taken up to heaven, and they say there's different sizes and there's different dimensions and there's different splendor of the mansions, and it is dependent upon your works here on this earth, and that is part of the rewards. That is part of the rewards that you receive when you get to heaven because you have been diligent and you have been a faithful worker here on this earth, and you have spread the gospel, you have been a soul winner, you have been one who looks forward to the appearing of the Lord, you have been a faithful servant, and so your mansion that God and Jesus are building for you, that the angels are building for you, your mansion size and dimensions and the glory of it is dependent upon your works here. Some people are going to have very huge mansions, maybe even multi-story mansions. If they've been great soul winners, or if they have been very diligent in their walk with the Lord and been hard workers for the kingdom, they're going to have a great reward in terms of the size and the dimensions and the scope of the mansion that the Lord Jesus builds for them. And so it is a blessing for us to know that Jesus has gone on ahead and that he is building a mansion for you. He's building a mansion for me. And it's a blessing to know that if I am diligent and if I work hard for the kingdom and if I work hard in soul winning, that God is going to reward me and he is going to bless me, and I'll have the soul winner's crown and I'll have crowns of glory, and I'm also going to have a great place to store those crowns and a great place to reside and be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Well, the actual rapture event that we have come to know as the rapture or the catching away is explained to us by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. And so if you'll turn over there to 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to take it up in verse 13. Verse 13, and it says here, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died, "concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Well, what's he saying here? Paul is saying that those who have gone on ahead of us, those believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, going back many centuries, even to the first century, those first century believers, those will precede those of us who are alive and remain, those of us who are walking alive on the earth right now. If Jesus were to come back tonight, those who have already passed away in the centuries past and have been believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to precede us when the rapture comes. When Jesus comes back to gather up his own, those who have already passed away and are asleep or in the grave, they will precede those of us who are alive and walking this earth today. Now, if the rapture happens this week or tonight or next month and you're here to tell about it, if the rapture happens at that point in time, there will be a generation of people that have not tasted natural death. They will have not seen death or tasted death. They will be caught up. from their natural bodies, their living, live bodies. They will be caught up with the Lord, but they will not precede those who have already passed away and who are lying in the grave. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying that there is an order about how we are going to be caught up. There's an order about how we are going to go with the Lord. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, that Paul says that Jesus Christ was the first fruits of all creation. We're going to look at that chapter here in just a little bit. That Jesus Christ was the first fruits of all creation. And so he was given back to the Lord when he was crucified and laid in a tomb. He became number one. He became number one, the first fruits of all creation, given back to the Lord God Almighty. And then everybody else takes up a number after that. And so the first century Christians who passed away and were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, their number may have been 20 or 30 or 50 or 100. And now here we are 20 centuries later or 21 centuries later. And now we have a number. You have a number. I have a number. If I pass away today or I am raptured today, my number might be 1,550,000 or whatever it is. But those of us who are alive and remain will not precede those who have already passed. And God is a God of order. He does everything in an orderly fashion. He has a plan for everything. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your children's life. He has a plan for this nation and the church that you're going to, or if you're not going to a church, he wants you there. He has a plan for everything. And God leaves nothing to chance. He wants you to participate in the rapture, to be ready for it, and to enjoy the blessings and the benefits and the rewards of your kingdom walk here on this earth. Well, let's look again at verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will descend, and this is the actual description of the catching away. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And he finishes up this passage of Scripture, verse 18. He says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Well, why is it a comforting thing to know about the rapture? Because we can encourage each other in our Christian walk. We can encourage each other in saying this fact, that we know Jesus Christ is going to come back for his saints, that we know Jesus Christ is coming. And whether he's talking about your grandmother, your grandfather, those saints that have gone on ahead and passed on, or whether he's talking about us, those who are walking this earth right now, we know Jesus is coming, and we know he's going to gather up his saints and take them back to heaven with him at the culmination of the rapture. And so it's very comforting to know that the minute you close your eyes here on this earth, if you are a believer, you're going to be transported by the angels. If your death comes today or your sleep comes today, you are going to be transported by the angels into the presence of Jesus Christ and into the presence of God, the Lord Almighty in heaven, and in the presence of all the angels, Michael and Gabriel and all the angels who are worshiping the Lord. You're going to be there with them. I'm going to be there with them. And it's going to be a glorious time as we go into heaven and receive our rewards and enjoy the blessings, the benefits, the bliss, and all of that that heaven offers. No sorrow, no pain, no problems, no bills. Everything is going to be just right in heaven, and you're going to be seeing your loved ones there who have passed on ahead of you, and you're also going to be seeing the loved ones, the believers that are walking the earth at this point in time, and we're all going to be gathered together in heaven to rejoice with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. So the depiction of the events, again, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So this is not the second coming. This is not the second coming when Jesus comes back to establish his millennial reign here on this earth, because it explicitly says and clearly says that Jesus is in the clouds and that we are going to join him in the clouds. We're going to join him in the air. And so this is not Jesus coming back and planting his feet on the earth and planting his feet and establishing his millennial reign or establishing his kingdom on this earth in Jerusalem. This is explicitly described as a time when the Lord comes in the air and we meet him in the air, and then we are caught up together with him, and then those will encourage each other as we know that this is a certainty, as we know that this is going to happen. We can encourage each other and bless each other by knowing that these things are going to happen. Well, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, this is the resurrection chapter, it's called. Paul wrote this chapter to the Corinthians to give them instruction and explain to them how this resurrection is going to take place, how it's going to affect our bodies, our spirit, our soul. And as you understand the concept of we are three-part beings, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are three-part beings. He says, may you be sanctified and complete. May you be sanctified and complete and made whole for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in soul and in body. And so we are three-part beings, spirit and soul and body. And they are listed, I believe, in terms of importance, in lines of importance. Your spirit is that part of you which communicates with God, which he speaks to. And your soulish nature, your soul, that is your mind, your heart, your emotions, your will, your personality, all those things that we contribute to you or attribute to you, as that is you, that is who you are, that is your soul. And then your body, of course, is your flesh, your skin, your senses to a large degree, your touch, taste, and smell, and all your senses. And so we are a three-part being. And our bodies are going to wear out because we live in this fallen world. Our bodies are going to wear out eventually. And I pray that it doesn't happen right away. I pray the Lord gives you the full length of your days. 70 is the length of your days, and if by strength 80, and I know some of you out there listening are 80 and 90, maybe even 100 years old, God bless you. I hope you live another however many years he has for you. And that is God's will, but we live in a fallen world, and so eventually our body has to be laid in the grave. Our body goes to sleep and is laid in the grave, and our soul and our spirit goes on to heaven to reside with the Lord. That's not the rapture. Our soul and our spirit go on to heaven. When Jesus comes back to receive those to himself for the rapture, then those who have fallen asleep and whose bodies lie in the grave, the resurrection body off of their natural body, the resurrection body, then is caught up with him, and that is the rapture. The resurrection body and the natural body are not the same. And Paul goes on to explain this in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is called the resurrection chapter. In verse 38, God gives us a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds, etc. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, that is the body that you have right now, your skin, your natural body that you're walking this earth with right now, that we see when we see you, is your natural body. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. That is your resurrection body, the DNA for your resurrection body. The Lord has it in his file cabinet in heaven. He has the DNA. If you were chopped up in a limb chopper, got in an accident, or you fell off a ship and ended up in the bottom of the ocean, the Lord still has the DNA to resurrect your body. He has it in his file cabinet up there, and so he knows how to resurrect your body, and it will be the same DNA that you carry with you today in your natural body. But the resurrection body is not going to look like your natural body. It will be a body that is glorified. It will be a body that looks like the body of Jesus Christ in the 40 days between the time when he was crucified and the time when he was taken up in Acts, the first chapter, when he went up to heaven as the disciples stood and watched him go. Those 40 days, Jesus operated in his resurrection body, and that's what your resurrection body is going to look like. You'll be able to walk through walls. You will not be confined by the same confinements that we have in our natural bodies. You're going to move a lot more fluidly. You'll be able to see into the spirit realm because you will be in the spirit realm. And so your resurrection body will not look like your natural body, but it will be taken from it. The DNA will be taken from it. And the Lord has all of that in his control and in his sovereign will. And so verse 42, 1 Corinthians 15, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And Paul goes on in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was made of earth, or made of dust. The second man is the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That's us. We are made of dust. We are made just like Adam. As those who are made of dust and is the heavenly man, so also those of us who are heavenly. And so just as Adam was made of dust, our natural bodies are made of dust, but also as our resurrected Lord was given a spiritual body, so also our heavenly body is going to be that resurrection body, and we will look just like the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. And verse 49, and we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trump shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so I believe that it also is a description of the rapture. At the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. That is a confirmation, a scripture of what Paul told us earlier in Thessalonians, that in the twinkling of an eye, just a fraction of a second, a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. We shall all be taken up, and our resurrection body, that incorruptible resurrection body, then will look like the glorified Jesus Christ that walked this earth between the time of his crucifixion or his being taken up in the first chapter of Acts. There was a 40-day period when Jesus walked this earth in his resurrected body. And so I believe that's what Paul is saying. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quickly in a twinkling of an eye. And God is a God of order. It's not going to take God a long time. There isn't going to be any TSA lines. There isn't going to be any confusion or commotion. It's going to happen quickly. And in the twinkling of an eye, we will be raised up to be with the Lord in our incorruptible bodies. And it will be a glorious day. It will be a glorious event. And we can look forward to it and encourage each other with these words. Well, that is a description of the rapture. We're going to talk more about the coming of the Lord next week, and not only the rapture, but his second coming and establishing the millennial reign, and we're going to talk about that next week, so you won't want to miss that message. And we thank you for tuning in each and every week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to sit down and write out a check of support. We have a great book offer for you today, and we're going to send a book to you, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. If you give us a support check of any amount, we'll send you this book and get it into your hands. Also, we ask for your prayers. Africa missions, they're coming up shortly. We're going to be going in mid-July to Kenya, and then from there I'll be flying over to Congo and to Burundi, and we're going to be preaching crusades in three different countries this summer. And also, I'm taking a team. I have several already committed, and I'm going to be taking a team with me to Kenya to work on the orphanage project, the Living Water Orphanage out at Mumias, Kenya. And so I invite you to partner with this ministry. Your partnership is very important. It's vital to us, not only for this radio ministry, but to bless those in Africa, bless those who are going to hear the word of the gospel because of your donation. And so I invite you to pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry and blessing this ministry as we do the work of the Lord here in America and in Africa. Well, stay tuned for contact information, and thank you again for listening. God bless you today. Have a good week, and tune in again next week.